It's time to blow this scene. Get everybody in the stuff together. Okay, 3, 2, 1, let's jam.
Boom. What's up, what's up, what's up? Hi, everybody. Back once again for another edition of Tell Me a Joke, the Guideline of Chasing a Dream. I'm your host, Maniacal Menace, Kyle Smith, and I'm sitting here with the one and only, the dancer, the entrepreneur, the go-getter herself, Therese Williams.
Hello. How are you guys doing today?
Hi, Therese. This has been a long time coming.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it's,
I'm excited.
Yeah, I see that. You've been speaking about being excited mostly all day.
Yeah.
And this is good. That's good.
I'm on a really good chill vibe, too, so that's a good thing.
And also, we're in a nice chill spot. I didn't think it would be this serene, but it is. I'm glad we picked this spot right here. This is a nice spot out in City Park.
It's pretty busy today, but where we are is kind of, like, actually mellow and calm.
Yeah. And it's a lot better. Last place I was at St. Rock with Audrey Gold. Right there next to the side of the street, and there was just so many cars passing. It got real loud. I was like, I don't know about this one, but we're going to just power through it. And, you know, all we got to worry about is the gnats and the bugs.
Yeah, the gnats are a difficult at the moment. But other than that,
they got people carrying people on the bridge around here. City Park, the culture. Yeah. It's not, and it feels good, too. It's not too, to say that power's down in, like, certain parts of the city still because of that.
Yeah. Right. All the stores are closed.
So before
the podcast, me and Kyle were trying to find a place where I can get an acai bowl. And so we went to Main Squeeze, and they were closed. Absolutely closed. And then we went to Jamba, and they were absolutely closed. They've been closed since Wednesday. So we just got a smoothie.
We got smoothies.
And that was a good choice.
That was a good choice. Because I decided to get a smoothie. I didn't want an acai bowl. I was like, I don't feel like doing nuts and cream and dairy right now.
And it's funny because it's literally the same thing. It just has toppings on top.
Yeah, I got almond milk. I was like, I don't want the dairy. The dairy's going to fuck with me. And I know it is. But it's good. It's good to see you that you're down here. What are you actually getting into nowadays? Because you're always into something. You're always doing stuff.
Yeah, I always do a little side hustle somewhere. Trying to make a dollar out of it.
Yeah.
But dance-wise, I'm back in the school. So with COVID, that kind of put a break to just working in the schools teaching dance.
Mm-hmm.
So school started back up, and I'm back in the schools teaching, which is great. I'm teaching back at the studio, so we had transitioned to do online, and I didn't really care for that at all, but we're back in the studio, so I can appreciate, like, teaching.
I guess I don't know if everybody has noticed, I don't think I mentioned, because I'm kind of spaced out from the ambiance out here and the scenery and the people, but Therese is a dancer. And that's one of the things that she is, not just an entrepreneur, but one of your passions was dance. Ever since she was little, that was one of the things you've always wanted to be, was a dancer.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, so what age did that start?
I always danced. So from 3 to something, like, we always did, like, those free programs at, like, Big Buddy or wherever. And so I remember there was one time my mom would put us in ballet class, and, like, we maybe lasted a month, and after that we just stopped going, me and my sister. He was just like, no, this ain't for us. So I didn't start taking it seriously until, well, middle school. I started, like, really doing it, like, after school, like, during school, extracurriculum. Like, me and my friends, we were creating choreography for every, like, talent show. And then in high school, that's when I started taking it seriously. It was just like, yeah, I'm gonna do this for real.
So, high school, what? So what is your preference? Do you like it basically like all of it, or do you more towards hip hop or ballet?
Yeah, I love hip hop. Yeah, I will always love hip hop. Like, I think that's just gonna always be my go to style, and like definitely can flow in and out of that regardless of the class. Jazz, I love jazz because in high school I was on the dance team and we did a lot of jazz technique. Everything was very majorette style.
Yeah, like I've noticed that. Well, compared to the dance team, compared to the cheerleading team, I've always wondered. I was like, well, what's the dance team dancing for? Are they dancing? Because they're not going to be at, like, the basketball games or nothing like that. So I was like, what else y'all there for besides band shit? I just never knew, but I assume... You know, everything else, like, especially with football, they'd be in the stands.
And then we have Battle of the Bands, too. So that was our main, like, apple. Was, like, go to Battle of the Bands, beat all the other bands, beat all the other dancers, and take first place. So it was, like, that three win. It was first place in dance team, first place in band, and first place overall best school, dance school. So, like, if you grabbed all three, like, you was the shit for, like, the whole year until that same Battle of the Bands came back. And then it was, like, you know, of course, high school rivalries. So, that was, like, the favorite part, too, okay? If there was a Battle of the Bands, like, the week before, 3 weeks later, there was another Battle of the Bands with the same school, it's going down. You going in.
Yeah, I never, back then, I never got into the culture of wanting to care.
Yeah.
And so it was just, now it's like, I missed out on some quality moments I could have had. But now it's just, you know, like, yeah,
actually,
I guess.
You would have been a good, like, what is it called?
Drum major?
Drum major, yes.
You
know what the moves called.
Well, I knew the drum major that we had. Not the guy that actually was on the drum, but the one with the stick. But yeah, he kind of revolutionized drum majoring to me because he was very flamboyant, and he was able to twirl a stick and do some shit with a stick. I was like, hey, that's amazing. That's like bow staff skills. Mm-hmm. Like, that's really good. Mm-hmm. And he would, the shit that he would do, and like usually I would always see the drum major as like a masculine person.
Mm-hmm.
But this time it took it from the drum major being a masculine person who also would twirl a stick, but like in a different way, to this motherfucker out there entertaining, doing his drum major shit, and then but also twirling, like flipping that bitch up to where he didn't boom catch it around his back, kind of like ribbon dancing or something like that.
Bad girls and stuff.
Yeah, exactly like that. And it switched, and I was like, oh, I always thought it was one dynamic. I always thought it would just be this type of person, but anybody else, and he played this shit out of me. I was like, wow, that's...
Was this in your high school? Or like,
yeah, this is my high school.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nah, I definitely didn't pay attention to college, because the only reason I paid attention like that is because I was cheerleading. So that's the only reason I would see him do this. Yeah. Other than that, I didn't go to the football games. I didn't really care to... It wasn't me. I wanted to play football, but since I wasn't on the team, it was like, oh well, you know, I'll watch football now. So I prefer other things. Did you ever want to get into tap?
Yes, I desperately still want to get into tap.
Yeah,
but tap is so intricate.
Yeah, I bet.
Yeah,
really quick ankles. After you.
Yeah, like your ankles have to be really like fluid for it. So I take classes from time to time. I still have my tap shoes, so from time to time I put them on and like do a little 1-2.
How long are you doing tap for? Well, how long did you practice it for?
So I started learning tap in college. That's lately.
Oh man.
So like imagine me being in like classes with people younger than me. I was
that's like another language you gotta learn, right?
Yeah,
there.
And I was like, oh, this is not as easy as I thought.
No. So
that was like six years ago I started tap for the first time.
Yeah.
And I'm still a beginner.
Oh.
But I'm pretty sure, like, the people that actually, like, take their time out and, like, learn it, I know that they can perfect it. But for me, like, I have to take my time to get that, like, because okay, you're learning the steps and you're learning each part of your foot, basically. And then each part has a different sound. So I'm a perfectionist. I got to get that same exact sound, because if it's not the same scuffle or shuffle or like heel toe or anything, like I'm just not with the flow.
So where did you always want to see dance bringing you? Like, because there's so many lanes and genres of dance culture out there to see what you would want to do with it. Did you always want to teach choreography, or is it just want to, you want to, like, what lane though? Like, do you want to kind of like Wade Robinson type? It's where you're on stage or on TV, like in that style, or behind the scenes more choreographing for like big stage plays and stuff?
Really all of it. But funny story is that in middle school, me and my friends, like I said, we used to always like do dances for talent shows and stuff, and so I would be the choreographer of the dances. So I remember, like, I would be like, oh, let's dance to Like a Boy by Ciara, and like we created a whole dance to that. Or like, really in middle school, I love Ciara, so most of the dances were from Ciara's activities.
Ciara was nice.
Yeah, because her dance style, I was like, yeah, she's a dancer, I would dance with her anytime. And so like, really choreography, that's definitely like my lane. I love to teach, I love to choreograph and like play with the music, play with the sounds. I would love to do Broadway. That's just always been like a passion I wanted to like act on. That, and I can see myself choreographing for like artists and stuff. I kind of do that already, you know. So I worked with Jambalaya. Funny story.
Jambalaya.
Funny story. When I first met Kyle, it was in New Orleans, and the cast for Jambalaya, we were all getting ready for our run to do it in New Orleans for the first time. And so that's, I think it was like a week or so before the actual show. And that was the first time I met Kyle and the whole crew, the whole Young Fuddy crew. And it was at Siberia, and it was like an open mic, no, comedy strip.
Yeah.
It was comedy strip, because Madeline, she was a part of the show. Her name's Lucy Furr. That's her burlesque name. Check her out. Follow her.
Shout out.
She was performing, and so we all went as a cast to support, and then that's when I met like the whole Young Fuddy crew. I met Kyle, and like we were talking outside, like after the show we all started talking outside. And then we were like, yeah, come to Jambalaya, we're performing next week. And then we like danced in the streets and stuff.
It's so wild, the dance culture.
Yeah, and we was just like, let's just have fun.
And I then, thought it was only on like Step Up and Step Up 2 and stuff like that. I didn't know it was a real thing.
No, it was a real thing.
Dance spontaneously in the street. Just break out in any type of musical. It's a definite musical. Just like, whoa, they really...
We love this shit. Yeah. Like, that's how it was. And so, it was funny and so cool because Kyle was the only person that came.
Yeah,
sure. Kyle came to the show.
Ain't nobody else came. They're too bougie to go. They're like, oh, no.
We ain't into musicals.
We just do this. I definitely went just to check it out. I was like, this is pretty cool, man. This is nice. Everybody dancing on key and shit. And I just met them people the other night, man. This is sweet.
You did the same exact flip.
Yeah, look at that. That's nice. They were dancing in the street, choreographed dancing, not just lollygagging dancing. No, for real, like kickball chain step 1-2 in the street. I was like, Jesus, that's pretty cool. That is pretty cool. Like, there ain't no cameras around. Y'all just did that. And I was like, all right. That's...
You did a backflip that night.
I did.
That's spontaneous.
Yeah, that's me, though. I do backflips by myself, though. I don't have to. When we go outside, some people just be like, let me respect certain things. And it was just like, oh, when I was Audrey, yeah, at the end, this homeless kid, well, was he homeless? Nah, I'm pretty sure he was just, He was outside selling some shit, and he was like, no, nope, not at the moment, sir. You trying to sell, like, a pink shirt or something. I was like, no.
Did
no,
right?
Yeah. I'm like, dude, will you see us in the middle? Oh, what, y'all doing something? Yes. Yes, we are. We're definitely doing something right now. You see that we're doing something. Like,
real
nobody
quick.
Wants that shirt.
Yeah.
Nobody wants that shirt. Nobody can fit that shirt. Anybody around here is not fitting that shirt. We don't want it.
Product placement. That's what that was.
It was just a bit much. I was like, go about your business, man. That's like, you're interrupting whatever's happening. You're just all in our shit, and I don't appreciate it. Yeah. But what I do appreciate is that show that y'all put on, kind of, sort of. I appreciate it in a way that it was really nice. It was a really nice show. And I kind of sort of appreciate it in a way because the lady that made it is like, you know, she's supposed to be a show from New Orleans, and she's not necessarily born and raised in New Orleans. She's only been down here for so long, so it's her rendition of what she thinks New Orleans is. And it's like, oh, all right, so I guess this is not just your stereotypical view of it. I hope you have other views, but this is cool. This is, I did enjoy it.
Yeah.
I did enjoy it, you know. But boy, she threw it in there. Yeah. And she's like, this is where...
Rest in peace to Nancy Gregory.
is she gone? And just, is that why you said it?
Yeah, she passed away.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, man. That's what happens, though. When people come down and they get a bit of that culture, it's like it is ingrained in me now. And now I must write more and more about it, which I like that.
It reminded me of like an early Disney cartoon. It was very happy, but then you
like
see
Dumbo.
Like those, yeah, and you see those subliminal, like,
that's why you don't get the crows in there no more. And it's like, oh, we see what we
them crows talking
so it's just like it's like, oh, we it's not always like that, but sure, all right, put the you gotta have the bumbly guy in there as well.
Yeah.
It was a good The musical itself, just everything that they had going on was just a really good show.
Mm-hmm.
Like the colors of the outfits, the costumes, the songs, like the Sun and the Moon song, La La Luna, that whatever.
Lady in the Moon.
There you go. Sun and the Moon, Lady in the Moon. Hey,
it's beautiful.
You gotta understand. My sister knows this. Musicals, plays and shit. I did not watch Les Miserables because I'm like, fuck a musical. I definitely don't want to go to no musical and then in play form. I can't watch it on the big screen. Oh, you are asking a lot, okay?
You didn't watch Hamilton?
What? Yeah, on Disney.
Oh, on Disney, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, but I listened to Hamilton before I watched it. Yeah, I watched it and I'm like, nah, let me just hit a lyricism. That's all.
Mm-hmm.
I don't care. None of that I don't really care for or care about.
I watched Hamilton, and it was a lot going on.
It's a lot. It's
and
a lot happening.
It was me and Kyle, my friend Patrika, we watched it after tubing for 3 hours straight.
Oh, Jesus.
And I was like, Kyle,
yeah,
I'm
already
going
exhausted,
sleep.
Yeah.
Because they was like, and then dancing. It was beautiful.
See,
but they were saying a lot of facts.
You look at the dancing aspect of it.
I was looking at all of it.
Ah, man.
I'm looking at it like director point of view,
producer
point of view, dancer point
of
view, singer. I'm
more
like,
than just one viewpoint, especially when it comes from entertainers. Because I was like, man, this is just to have to write all this. Oh, my God. And then after that, it's words in the pattern and a rhythm. Certain rhythms, you know, might mess you up, but it's easy to remember words in the rhythm, but it's just... It was just like so fucking much. I'm like, oh my God.
Mm-hmm.
Just thinking about having to, you know, sit down and think of that just took so much out. And then everything on top of that, when it comes to set design, costume, how you going to do all of that? Yeah.
Catchy songs, though.
Yeah, very catchy. I didn't, there wasn't too many songs that I did not like on there.
Yeah,
you know, especially listening to it.
It was petty too. Like the drama was there, and I was there for the drama.
Nah,
that was my favorite part.
Drama.
Yeah,
yeah.
Because they was like throwing shade from left to right, and I was like, whoa, okay. It was that petty back then, but besides that, yeah, like I love to dance. I love to like. Look at all of those
things. You dance so hard that you dance holes into your sneakers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, that's definitely.
Well, I don't think that's really mostly my fault because.
How is that not your fault? It's a sneaker?
Because we used to practice most of the time outside.
Uh-huh.
On concrete.
Right.
And doing double turns, double pirouettes.
Yeah, double turns on concrete.
Right. You trying to do three? Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'm just saying because it's very, rare that you dance, that other people dance holes. Or no, that other people just have, you know, holes of like
that's
quickly.
Not yeah, that's not
quickly
excuse,
into
all of my
their
new
sneakers.
Shoes yeah. Not have holes.
Yeah,
like
yeah, that's like you're
the
not.
Shoes I recently just bought, those Nikes.
Exactly. That, I'm not
Nike
just speaking
Mariah's, yeah.
of at that time when you were dancing and you probably wore those dance certain shoes and y'all had to do that. I'm talking about in your everyday life.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
You have holes.
I have holes in my shoes.
Real quick. In your sneakers, yeah.
I just got them shoes.
At some point in time, you will have to just bust a turn at any given moment. And during life,
I did that recently at Office Depot. I was like, I gotta get this choreography out, and I was at the printer scanning some stuff to my email, and I was just like, boom, I gotta get this out.
Dance is life, right there. I mean, that's when you grow up, and that's when your dream has taken over, has consumed you.
You know, it's funny or weird when you're like. Will other people see me as weird if I do this right now?
Now see, that's what makes you an entertainer.
Should I care?
That's what makes you an entertainer, man. You don't even give a shit about who's listening, watching. When you feel it, when you're in the moment,
when it happens, I feel it.
It's got to come through.
And I got to let it out.
Yes.
What?
Slow walk fucked me up just now. That was so bad. I had usually things like that. Usually, I'm in the mode and then that, because there's still an embarrassment factor of it. Like we know we're doing it, but also it's just like, yeah, you also have in the back of your head, hey, what the fuck they doing that for? So it's just as a comic wanting to get up on stage or just wanting to blurt something out like by yourself. You know it's weird. Just like you say, you know it's weird. But I have to get this out. Yeah.
And it's funny because I can see your point of view on that because you have a lot of out the wall things.
Yeah.
And you just come out and say them on stage. You're just like, what? Like the joke about the female monkeys. Are they apes?
Are they bonobos?
Bonobos. Oh my god. And sometimes I just sit in the audience watching them just like, what made him think of these things to just say?
It's so weird. Because I mean it's true. You gotta fuck to resolve your discrepancies between the pride. So it's like we're gonna fuck it out. And it's like, well hey, that's a good way to get over it, I guess.
That's liberation.
That's how they decide.
Like, what if humans did that?
It'd be different. It'd be a different world. Oh, who knows? Who knows how we'd be wired?
You know,
we'd probably be wired totally different. Like I've been bringing this up a lot, but I've been listening to a lot of LeVar Burton Reeves, and he has told some stories to where like people thought of this. These are fictional book stories, short stories that he's reading.
Right.
And, like, it's about, like, a different worlds, different sceneries. Like, what if, after the apocalypse, what if this was going on? Like, the last movie he read by MK Ultra or something like that. And I'm probably talking out because, you know, I stay far from reading. I listen to the books. But he was talking about... they had this girl who grew up in valedictorian. That's what the name of the short story was called. I'm probably gonna butcher the hell out of this, but basically, what it was a world to where people were half human. Some people were half human, half symbiote, or not half symbiote, but like half robot, like kind of like a cyborg. And they lived on the outside of this firewall. Like, everybody that was still normal kind of stayed in on the inside of the firewall. Mm. But everybody else that was kind of, like, built differently. Mm-hmm. Like, built with, like, manufactured parts mm-hmm. and human pieces.
Mm-hmm.
They were built on the outside of this, I guess.
Firewall.
Yeah, kind of like a dome or whatnot. Mm. and they got to see other places. But it's been like that for so long that these people that's on the inside grew up that way, so they've never got to see the beach and shit like that. It was always just this. But then they start to intermingle because, like, this person, since he stays on the outside, he goes to these schools. Since this person, they stay on the inside, they go to these type of schools. Mm-hmm. They're still smart, but in different ways, mm-hmm. and they have different ways of looking at the world. Mm-hmm. And so they are both in the running for valedictorian.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. So it's just like, you know, but the way he views things is a different way than she views it, and it's still the way they kind of look at each other is still kind of in almost like a racial bias, mm-hmm. but I still don't know what you are, and this person could possibly kill me because he's half cyborg. Mm-hmm. And yeah, so it's just.
And that's a book?
Yeah, yeah, this way. Yeah.
Give me that. Say the title. LeVar,
okay, Valedictorian. LeVar Burton, he reads it on LeVar Burton Reads on Spotify and shit.
Yeah, check that out.
Yeah.
I'm going to check that out.
Yeah, yeah. When I'm listening to it, like, that one was really confusing because there was so much that was going on, but. In that story, but it was just like, what?
Yeah.
Like, somebody actually sat down and wrote this. Just like Stephen King. Like, the shit that he writes. It's like, oh, somebody came out and gave you those words. And so it's just like, I really was there for a second. Like, I swear, I think it's something that he read, or I might have seen, like, a movie or something, but I have a vivid image of something that plays back in my head that I think it's a story that he made up. I mean, not a story that he made up, but a story that he read from somebody that somebody wrote. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, why do I have, like I've watched this movie? Like, it was a movie that I'm not sure, though. It's still, like, 50-50 in my head. Did I watch a movie, or did he read this story to me? That's kind of how vivid I picture it.
Oh.
Yeah. Like, did I see this? Did I watch this on Netflix?
Yeah.
Or was this a motherfucking book that he was reading to me? I'm not really sure where in my memory this, but it's weird. And I think it's a book that he read to me.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, he's really good. He's really good. Now, I just recently, since we are creators, like, you're always dancing, I'm always trying to come up with the next thing that's going to get people's attention, or, you know, that people enjoy to listen, or so I've just recently started listening more to LeVar Burton and how he edits and structures his shows to when he's reading them. And usually when he's reading, he actually gets in the character, mm-hmm. Before he does it. And like, I felt that this is the first time where I felt that it might not work, because I got shitted on today. When I told somebody that, yeah, man, you can read your own stories, like, you make your own stories and read them out. And then motherfuckers like, why would you do that? It's like, well, you can't read your own stories. And I'm like, ah. And I thought about it, and I was like, well, it just threw me through a loop for
but
a second.
I said, but why you can't?
Why
though?
I can't though? Yeah, that's
who,
what I was
who
like.
Made the rules to say,
and I was like, I always like to think of it just in more than one perspective, just so I can get a different outlet of it. And I'm like, well, why can't I read? Why would you think that I couldn't read my own stories? And then I'm like, is it narcissistic for me to think that I should be able to read my own stories? Like, or is it to the aspect that it's not good enough? Why I shouldn't read my own stories? Like, why wouldn't I? Why?
Maybe, I don't know. Maybe they was coming from the perspective of, like, when someone writes a book, like, a best-selling, then they used to go to, like, what is it called? Audible or something, and somebody else reads the book.
Well, see, but most people that read their Audibles read their own.
Tiffany Haddish read her own book.
And that's another thing. As soon as I said that just now, I thought of Audible. And I was like, wait, no. They're reading their own shit.
Yeah.
And so, like, it brought me back to, like, thinking, oh no, this is okay for me. I can definitely do this.
Because who made that rule to be like, you can't read your book that you made with your mind?
Yeah, then that's
how narcissistic of you.
It brought me to a place where I was like, is this shitty what I'm about to do? Like, am I about to do something dumb as
the person to read it than you?
Yeah, yeah. So I was like, I also thought, I was like, it's not about to just be normal. It's not about to be just a normal, read book. It's going to be, you know, it's going to be in the mind of how I'm doing it. So yeah,
what
I'm,
is this
I'm,
book about?
It's just a whole bunch of short stories that I write.
Yeah.
That I'm writing. Yeah. Just for, I want to do a LeVar Burton Reads type deal.
Yeah.
So I think probably by the time this comes out, maybe not. I'll have started it already.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's already started. I've already started writing things, but I just got to start shooting it and stuff. And, you know, something.
It's in the process, people. Be patient.
Yeah.
It's coming.
I mention it often, but I mention a lot about LeVar Burton because he reads to me. And, like, that was an idol growing up. You know, now from a person that everybody knows, this nigga don't like to read. Nah, you can read to me. I just don't like to read. And that's one of the beats. That's one of the bits. Yeah, definitely.
Reading Rainbow.
You definitely have a good time listening to reading. That's one of the bits that I started thinking about now. It's like, it doesn't matter if I don't want to read. You know, if you read to me, though, I can pay attention that way. Can't pay attention just trying to read to myself. That's why I don't read to myself. It's the only reason I don't read. It's just like, I won't be able to. My reading comprehension is terrible. But if you read it to me, it's like a movie in my head. And just like I was saying, I don't know if it was a movie or if somebody read that to me. The thing sounds like a duck. No, it sounded like a duck.
Oh,
it sounded like
he had
a duck in there.
Nope,
that was one of the bags. Rubbing up against the spokes.
Oh, because I'm pretty sure that's illegal if you take a duck from here and, like, take it home.
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure you would hear it. It'd probably be a lot louder than what you just heard.
Unless he broke his neck.
I don't think it would be quacking at all. I'm pretty sure it'd be dead. I'm pretty sure it'd be dead.
You're right. So, did you watch the podcast with Joe Rogan and Kanye West?
I listened to it, yes.
Yes, okay, I watched it, so you listened to it.
Uh-huh.
Okay, tell me your thoughts. Because I kind of picked your brain a little bit about it earlier this week, but I was like, I want to wait and have this moment for the podcast.
Wow. Okay.
So what did you think of that?
Well, I mean, I think they had a conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm pretty sure you understand that Kanye West is a bit different. Not a bit different, he's way different from a lot of people, from a good amount of people. So that's just his viewpoints on things. And I'm like, all right. I heard at one point he wanted to run for president. I didn't know the back thing again.
Oh, yeah. You can write his name in Louisiana.
Huh?
On the ballot. You can write his name in
yeah,
on the ballot.
No,
in
you could. He at the end of the show, he told you how you can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, that's fine. I'm not one of those people that go up too hard about politics and stuff like that. So, you know, as a gag, sure, but before I actually cast my first vote to vote, I want to understand what I'm going to be voting for and why I'm going to be voting. Because I understand now, I was one of those people that was always against voting. It's like, fuck that, I'm a felon anyway. I don't care about it. But my dad hit me with, you know, we died for this. I'm like, damn, that's heavy. All right. So, I'm going to give more thought on it because I know if most people hear this and be like, oh, Kyle, you don't fucking vote. Hey, stay the fuck out of my business. You know, I do what I want to do. It doesn't matter if I vote or not, but no, I get it. I should cast my opinion at some point in time. But when I'm ready, I don't have to do it because everybody else is doing it and everybody says I should do it.
Right.
Which is like the bandwagon thing for motherfuckers to do now. Oh, you need to do this. You need to get these many views. This needs to happen. Why can't you just be yourself?
Mm.
Why I got to follow this trend?
Mm-hmm.
I don't follow trends and make my own, so you know.
Yeah, he was. I feel like on the podcast he was saying a lot of good things, but then it was like really back in Kanye, really back in. It was 3 hours.
Really back in. Yeah, it's 3 hours. That's his brain. That's how his mind works.
Yeah, and he is smart. Like, you have to give him credit of he is smart. Like, he knows how to market and
very business savvy.
Yeah, like he knows how to market. I mean, the guy was in debt, but now his net worth is $1 billion. Like,
mm-hmm.
That takes some type of smartness. Like, you have to have some type of smartness in
order to have a good team. You can't be dumb to do that.
Yeah, you have to have a good team to do that. And like, just in general, like the things that he was saying made sense. And I think he's really incorporating now his beliefs into his artwork.
His religion.
Yeah. So, that was interesting to see him like talk about that more, and it was refreshing to hear him just talk instead of people like talking over him or like saying, oh, this man crazy, he's bipolar, he's off his medicine or whatever.
People don't get to get your personality unless you just have a conversation. People don't know who you are unless you get to be yourself. Mm-hmm. And that's what I try to get most people to do on here, is just be themselves instead of being what everybody else wants or think they should be.
Yeah.
And yeah.
He reminded me of a child. Like he had like an inner child about him. Like I guess he's trying to go back and tap
still
into.
Having fun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was just like, that's kind of cool to see that in him without mm-hmm. like the tabloids and like just people talking about him on social media and stuff. And
yeah, Deb Ain't, I've had people that dismiss both of them just because of who they are. And it's like, why would you do that? I've had friends
that dismiss both.
Both with Joe Rogan and Kanye West. It's like, you know, just when I posted that post up there, I'm like, oh, yeah. This is something that I'm waiting for. I mean, yeah, this is the whole reason I do podcasts and then do comedy now. Because I started listening to Stitcher and podcast radio when I started doing comedy. So, like, that was the thing that brought me to doing this. And it's like a freedom of speech to be able to say whatever you would like to say without you being judged by shit. But nowadays, people are so sensitive, you can't really say shit without motherfuckers getting, oh, I'm butthurt because you said this. You put these two words together. It's like, but you know, nobody's being malicious. This is just how people feel or what is said at the time. So it's just so different, like, that people actually get to see him now, or before you even get to see what the man has to say, you're dismissing him because of who he is.
Yeah.
And they do that a lot just because it's who somebody is, but you don't really get to know that person unless you sat down and talked to him.
Right.
And yeah, you can see that motherfucker's got some crazy shit about him.
Yeah.
But, you know, just because this is how you feel.
And he just has, like, a tad bit of, like, narcissistic talking, and, like, he does kind of boost up his ego, but...
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, there's a whole song about it.
Everybody does.
I got a big ego. Every big ego. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
That was my song.
Yeah. It's hey, you doing it. Mm-hmm. Have that ego. You can definitely have that ego. Especially once you justify that you chased your dream and you got it and now you profiting from it. Why not? Why not have it? If people love it, people loving what you're doing, and like, people love it to the point to where they don't like what you're doing because it ain't the old shit that they love what you were doing before. That shit, that's that bullshit. Mm. That's when you know, might as well have a big ego. Because now you got people hating you because you're not doing the old shit that you used to do.
Mm.
But they don't want to see you evolve. It's like, well, this is what got me here. Like, this is just the next level. Let me do me.
Yeah, I think it's like a balance between still being humble, you know, ego.
Yeah.
Too much ego can create a downfall, you know,
mm-hmm.
whereas you stay humble of your beginnings and like being humble of the people that's keeping you there. Cause you know, people have to keep buying his products. People got to keep buying his music. People got to keep watching him and like keeping an eye out on what he got going on next. Like, they still are supporting him, you know, if that makes sense, so...
Yeah, I was going to say, you understood what he was going to be. If you just respect him as an artist, instead of being like, all right, I guess there's two sides of it, because you don't enjoy whatever...
I think it's just a prime example of, like, people putting celebrities on a pedestal of, since you are at this level of achievements, you have to not only nurture me but my kids and the rest of the world. And it's just like, no, that's your responsibility to nurture your kids, to make sure that they are nurtured with the nature and stuff around them. That is your responsibility. You are responsible for your life. Like, if you don't agree with what he's doing, go somewhere else. You know, like, stop putting these celebrities on pedestals and getting mad that they're not achieving something for that you want for your own life. That doesn't make sense.
Mm.
First of all, that is a man. He's not like no higher being. Mm-hmm. He's a regular degular person. He just so happened makes more money than you.
Yeah, because
he's an artist. That means he sees the world completely differently than you.
We've been so saturated with, like, this is why this shirt is the best for this going on right now. Made in the 90s, because back in the 90s, people didn't give a shit about that.
The 90s was weird, man.
The 90s was awesome.
Not in a bad way, but I'm saying it was weird in a good way. Like,
yeah, like people didn't care about all that other extra shit.
Because when I look back at the 90s shows, it's like, man, these were adults making cartoons, but really it seemed like they were more so for adults. Like, I feel like I enjoy them more.
They were more grown up. They were more of a grown up inspired show.
Right.
Instead of just pertaining to little kids.
Right.
When you look back at them, it's just like, oh, because you see the shows now that are for, like, that would be for the age range, or just they're not up to par. They're really like babyfied. They're really dumbed down.
They do have some good, like Steven's Universe. That's a really good show. I can watch that. Like,
yeah, all right. I'll give it that show. There's certain shows that I watch that are really good, like the regular show. You know, shows like that. Mm-hmm. But
Adventure Time was a good show.
Yeah, those shows evolved. But the shows that you see now, like the other shows that don't really stand out, and it's just like, all right, these are actually for kids.
Disney definitely took it to more of like, this is for kids.
Yeah, back then they
were preteens.
They definitely weren't. You definitely didn't get, like, back then we had Hocus Pocus.
Yeah.
I don't really know what they got now.
Oh yeah, that was cursing at Hocus Pocus.
Yeah, that's what we had back then. And now you got some other shit to where it's just like, oh, they like Monster High and shit. And I'm like, mm-hmm. My little niece likes Monster High, but it's just like, I don't really know. I can't. Mm-hmm. This doesn't seem like it would resonate with me if I was your age back then. It just seems, like really, really softened. Mm. Like they've just kind of, they've tried to really soften it up for the kids growing up nowadays. It's like, I mean, give it to them real.
But that sting, is that a bad thing?
I mean, it makes people like, I mean, this is the world. What happens when you get into the world? Like, the world ain't soft like that. Like, you gotta realize what, you know, you're gonna actually encounter. And that's why Moesha was something. Have you started watching Moesha?
Yeah, but that's not like a child's show.
No, but they're still young teens, and those teens that at her age on that time of the show, they don't understand that. They don't understand nothing about being Vietnam.
I like that show because I was definitely going through that same drama in middle and high school. Mm. That same back and forth.
Yeah, but you see, that's something that you don't get told, and you don't see that on TV.
Uh-uh.
You know, so to have a representation of that back then, that, oh, this is something that can happen, or this is, you know, because that's why you have people are so oblivious, especially in college. I met a few people that were just like, once they got there, you know, because they've been so sheltered, so. Mm-hmm. Certain things that you don't get to see like that, you like to act upon once you get to certain places, like college. And I don't know where I was going with this now. Like, this is Moesha.
But no, I get what you're saying, because I can agree. Like, when I first came to New Orleans on my own, like, it was such a culture shock. Like, I remember when I was little, I always wanted to come to New Orleans, and I was just like, I'm in love with the city. It's just something about the city and the big buildings and stuff. And like 2 years ago when I came out here on my own and like just really was like grinding and hustling and bustling, it was just culture shock.
Yeah. People are giving shelter from the world, like what the world is really going to be like. You know, once you get out from under your people's tutelage.
You said something that was so pivotal to me at that point. You was just like, you're grown, man.
Yeah.
You know whatever you want. You're an adult.
Yeah. Okay. I tell everybody that now.
I was like, what?
Yeah, it's like you took the floaties off. That's what I'm trying to say, man. The world is not the soft
when
thing
I tell
that
you
feel.
I was just like, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Like, I really was like,
you go live.
what? I, at that point, I was literally was just like, I can't understand what you mean. Like, if I want to go somewhere, I can literally go somewhere and don't have to tell my parents. And I was just like,
yeah.
Is this how it feels to be sheltered? To know that you were sheltered and now you're not sheltered?
So yes, just exactly. Like, that's exactly what I'm trying to get at.
I can go play.
You can go play. But I have an ass. You just go leave.
That's literally how it was.
You just go about your business. Because you're grown. You fucking, the floaties are off. Ain't no more safety net.
Yeah, my parents know. Like, look, I'm about to. Like, they know that I'd be ready to live and just run and just go play all day.
Yeah.
So it's just like, they always be like, okay, make sure you call. Make sure you check this.
Mm-hmm.
Where are you? Okay, be safe. And so now I'm just like, oh, I can go play all day and night and do whatever I want.
Whatever makes you successful. As long as you still remember they're there.
Yeah.
You know, you go live your life. You can definitely go do that. You definitely, as long as you're going and you're off on your own, doing your own thing. Been gone since I was 18.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, I wasn't always on to myself. I wasn't always living by myself and shit. But, you know, I haven't been with my parents since then. So that, to actually say that I had to come back because of all of the bullshit that happened. It's a crazy life, you know, to have to feel as if you starting all over, which is, it's not a start over, it's just a recoup,
yeah.
Basically. So I gather your wits about you and,
yeah.
And you know, take the next journey, take the next path.
Yeah, it's like basically. Me being back in Baton Rouge and being able to come back out here, it makes me appreciate the city so much more. Like, just being able to come out here and just, like, fall in love with those places that I used to come to all the time, like,
mm-hmm.
It just feels like my second home, low-key.
Yeah.
You know, like, it's like, man, y'all understand, I was hustling out here, like, I was walking the streets, I was seeing those blue
lights. Yeah, you made memories.
Yes, like, the memories of...
Those are the fun memories. Once you took those floaties off, you're like, oh, man, hold on, let me live for a second.
Yes.
Yeah. Just go about your business.
The first time I went to, what's that place off of French Quarter? No, not French Quarter. Off of, what's the other? Frenchman. Port au Call.
Oh, Port au Call.
Well, we first went to Port au Call. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. So many nights of, like, what is today?
Yeah.
Oh, this is why people love New Orleans. Or, like, just the food. Like, I remember just coming out here, and I wasn't dancing as much. I was doing mostly acting at that time. So I was eating, and I was just, like, enjoying, like, hot sausage and, like, just...
It's so crazy that people were in the bubble. Like, people are still in the bubble. People don't understand, like, they're
so much...
And
I started
so
to
much...
dance, and I was just like, oh, my God. I fell off.
Yeah.
In the sense of, I've been enjoying this too much, but I came out here for a purpose. I came out here for a reason. Let me snap up in there.
Yeah.
Let me get back into action.
And that's...
The culture is so rich. It is.
People need to live their life and just see what they can.
The one thing I did realize, though, when I got hit by real life, I was like, nope, I don't want that shit. Like, I was literally like, nope, I see gentrification. Nope, I still see this racism still going on in certain places. Like, it was literally like, I don't understand how people say they don't see it.
Yeah.
It's still everywhere. Like, literally, you can go down the street and it's like, nothing but people, like, trash and, like, you know, homeless here. And then all of a sudden you walk down the street and it's just this coffee shop that was once a house.
Mm.
And then all you see is just white people.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what?
I've seen some crack houses changing in Boost Mobile stores.
Yeah, and it's just like, I don't, what do you mean you don't see the gentrification? It's right there in your face. Like, literally, if you don't see, like, those police cameras blinking and flashing in your neighborhood, and you're in a predominantly black neighborhood, just know that it is gentrified.
Not saying that we needed the crack houses in the neighborhoods. Just saying that I've seen the culture change, basically.
Yeah.
We could have put something else there, like probably black-owned or something. You know, like maybe a barbershop or something.
But for real, anything else. Any business that was black-owned.
Yeah.
Or keep the neighborhood the way it is.
Nope.
For the people.
No, they can't do that. They want to profit off of...
Oh, yeah, because it's cheaper. It's not cheaper. It costs less than if you were to go to, like, CBD or, you know, downtown or something. And, you know, I always say this about New Orleans. I'm like, New Orleans should be the first city to experiment of being, like, the next futuristic city where you incorporate futuristic innovation into architecture, into the actual culture of New Orleans.
Mm.
Like, why isn't this, like, the next future city? You know, like, you go to Disney and you see all of those, like, metro trail trains and stuff and all that, right? Why we don't have that in New Orleans? Mm. Like, why we don't experiment to, like, build the city up? You know, like, it's possible. It literally is. Disney, literally an amusement park, is doing it.
Yeah, but, see, the thing is, with New Orleans, you got certain people that want to see you make it, but then the other people, they also want to make it as well.
And yeah, and that is hard.
If you don't take them with you, it's like, well, no, you can't. Once I left, as I started to realize that more, that you see a lot of that happening, especially people that come from other places and all that. It's like, to try to capitalize on one thing, and then as soon as they capitalize from that, well, say, you know, take it with them and then be gone from that. Or one person has something and somebody else try to come in and take what they had. And it's like, are we still doing that around here? Mm-hmm. You know, that's always a thing.
Yeah, but I'm talking about, like, officials. I'm talking about, like, government stuff and, like, grants, all this tourist money, all of the money that the city gets.
Hmm.
You know, like, you mean tell me all of the innovative things that happens outside of the U.S., we can't bring that kind of thinking here, you know?
Well, you could bring that here, like, but then who's going to keep it here? How they going to keep that here?
The same way they keep tourists coming here every year.
Yeah, but then the tourists come here for, like, just one reason normally. Bring that outside. You're talking about bringing that to the entertainment, like, to the dance and to the comedy and stuff. Like, all tourists are coming for is just for what they see down on Bourbon and what they see on TV. They don't come for our culture, because our culture is not something that's prominent yet.
Hmm. I want to make sure I say this. Yes, say this movie right. I just recently watched a movie called Dream Big on Netflix.
Uh-huh.
And it talks about how engineers are taking that next level into bringing more art into cities and, like, incorporating that in, like, simple things. Like, one lady, she is working on bridges, and, like, she's building bridges in different, like, countries that don't have access to other cities because they're missing a bridge, you know? Or, like, I don't want to say the city wrong. Don't kill me if I say it wrong, people.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Shanghai.
Okay.
China.
Uh-huh.
They have this building where they were building up. Instead of building the building outward, right? Mm-hmm. There's, like, let's build it up because the sky has no limits, right? And so they were worried about the wind and, like,
nature has limits.
Huh?
So nature has limits.
Yeah, it does. Like, tsunamis and, like, you know, a lot of flooding and stuff. So they was worried about, like, wind. And so what they did was they created a spiral in the building to where the wind warps around it. Instead of, like, going straight on it, it just went past it. And I was like, that's so cool.
That's very innovative, yeah. But, I mean, it makes sense.
New Orleans, take notes, like.
Right. Well, I mean, nah, that's the whole infrastructure that you got to do. Like, yes. not everything's the same when you go to different places.
I know. That's what I'm saying. Like, New Orleans is the perfect place to, like, get in there, figure out what this place needs.
It wouldn't be that. It would be have to something to do with water,
right?
Or something like that.
Right.
Or you're just saying anything, not technically. The spiral building, but just
no. I'm just something. Yeah. I'm saying something because I mean it is a boat. Oh yeah, it's like, oh, it's a boat.
They put it on stilts.
Well,
you raise your house.
Yeah.
That I don't think there's much else that they could unless you put them on buoys. You put everything on a buoy because you've been saying that eventually everything would flood.
And
so
I feel like engineers, they can say that, like, they can sit there and be like, you know what? Let's think outside of the box. What can we do to build the city out the bowl, or think of something underneath with the water. Mm. You get what I'm saying? Like, that's for the engineers to take care of.
Pumping system.
Yeah, I basically can't work. I mean, they have pumping systems, but
yeah,
it's not that
work.
Good.
Yeah, so, I know, exactly.
Like, they recently just found the whole car in a damn pumping system.
I don't think they do anything about it. They're just like, oh, we're going to fix it?
I'm just like,
all right, so back to these TPS reports, right?
Right, I'm just like, are you doing a good... I don't know if you're doing a good job. I think you're doing a quick fix.
They're just old. Mm-hmm. They're old as fuck. And then you use an old shit for a new city, for a newer city. I mean, it can only go so fast.
Yes, yeah,
so
it's just like, y'all still flood when it rains. It needs to be fixed and thought differently, right? So I'm like, I'm not an engineer, and I can't, like, give you the facts on stuff, but I'm just like...
You don't have to. We can all look it up.
Oh, yeah, but it's just like, y'all should be doing this, you know what I'm saying? Like, So, stuff like that makes me excited, because as soon as they start talking about art, I'm like, yeah, it makes me happy, because art is everywhere, right? Like, that made me really think about...
Only certain people look at it like that, though. Other people don't look at it. They don't live... Other people don't live life like that.
I know. And I'm sorry,
so weird.
But I love art. Like, it's fun. Like, you know? And, like, this pandemic really made me think about who am I as an artist and, like, how I want to build my artistry and, like, business-wise. Like, how am I pursuing that? So... You know, at the end of the day, yes, we are artists, but we are still business people. Like, it's still a business, you know, because what's the first thing that happened when the pandemic hit, right? Everybody closed, you know, everybody got to re-strategize. So people are in the boardrooms, like, creating stuff. Who are they running to create commercials, songs, radio commercials? Like, they're coming to artists. They're coming to people that can draw up, hey, stay at home, but while you stay at home, use this product because we're built just for this. Mm-hmm. You know, like, they're going to artists to help push them into that next change of the future, because coronavirus is going to be here for the next couple of months, next couple of years, probably, who knows. But it's like, the first person you come to is an artist. But then that makes me question, like, this is that time where as an artist you have to be mindful of your work's value, you know. Like, since the pandemic, I was just like realizing that, yo, I get it, a lot of people are coming to me to, you know, help me financially and give me jobs and stuff, but then also I'm like, but this is my work. I can be using this too to make more money. Like, I could be using this too to, like, start my own repertoire. So I have to be mindful of, like, you know, yes, I get it. Like, I'm an independent contractor and you come in to me to hire me for a job. But then also, I'm business savvy. Like, this is still a business. I don't even know if I said it right or wrong, but it's one of them.
Survey. Oh, that's wrong. Yeah.
It's definitely not survey.
That's what SAVY.
Savvy.
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 Business savvy.
I said it wrong.
You said it like Swahili or something like that.
I didn't say no Swahili.
You said Swabby.
Disney Swabby.
Savvy.
Don't worry, that's my dialect.
Ah, shit. I used to tell people I used to say variety for a long time when it was variety.
Oh.
Yeah. Now, sometimes you just, that's how you hear words sometimes. It's like,
but
why
don't
you hear
it
like that? Yeah, yeah. No, it's cool.
Like,
I have a habit of doing that, just pointing it out when somebody's like, like, I talked to somebody that was like, Dari. I was like, what do you mean, Dari? What's Dari? It was like, you know, when you drink too much milk and stuff like that. I was like, you mean dairy? I was like, oh,
I thought
shit.
You were trying to say diary.
Yeah, it's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, not that at all. No.
But yeah, basically what I'm saying is that art is still a business. So you still have to think business, like, you know, is this just a quick fix to get me to the next month? Or, like, can this also bring me more income in the future? So
one of those people now, because I don't, right, well... The art isn't what backwards. That's where you were chasing this dream to become successful from our art. But does success really consider being wealthy, I guess?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, I guess I just want more recognition or just, what am I looking for? Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you just want a pat on the back? Like, you eventually want to get paid from this.
Right.
So every time I say that, it's just like, I always have to rethink and contradict myself. It's like, no, like, you're not doing it for the money, but the money is what you need to continue doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. I want to be wealthy, but not consider that, oh, I need this money to continue to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I always look at it like that because I don't want to say that I'm doing it for the money. You know, I want to say that I do it because I love it.
Yeah.
But the money is what helped me do what I love. So
yeah.
It's kind of like a balance. Yeah, when you say business, yeah, it's a business. But also, I'm playing. Like, this is what I like to have fun doing.
Yeah.
And I don't like to consider what I have fun doing a business. But I understand that what I am doing is building a business. Like, see, it fucks with you, doesn't it? Like, just listening to it that way is,
well,
like,
it's a job, it's a business that's fun.
Right. But I don't want to look at it as...
But it's not like a business as in, you don't want to look at it as such a structural...
Yeah, I don't. Business. I just want to put a label on it like that. I just want to be like, hey man, this is me going to have fun. But other people look at it, no, you got to call it a business. Why do I have to call it a business? Because that's how you would look at this as. Yes, it's a business, but I'm also going to have fun. Like, it's so weird that...
Well, I get what you're saying because, I mean, technically, when I think of Kevin Hart, I think of Kevin Hart. I don't think of his business.
Right.
I think of him doing his art, like, doing what he loved. But
right.
He has a business. Like, he
right.
has a company.
Yeah.
You know, so, like, that makes sense.
Like, because we don't, like, what we laugh at, what we enjoy is not the behind the scenes of what he's doing.
Right.
It's what he's showing us.
Right.
The fun aspect of it.
Right.
Like, you don't get to see the hard work and stuff that
yeah,
they put
when
in.
Yeah, he goes off stage, that's when he's going back to work. Like, that's when he's going back into building it up again.
And some people might look into that and like, oh, this is what I like. I like this aspect of him. Well, that's fine. That's for you. But for me, like, that's not what I look at in life. That's not what gets me by.
Yeah.
Like, everybody, it seems, I fucking hate it because everybody mm-hmm. thinks that, oh, you need to be a certain way to be a certain person in this
yeah.
world. Like, you need to pay attention to this. You need to make sure you do that. Like, when I first started comedy, a motherfucker told me, oh, you need to have political shit. You need to have shit like this. You need to have shit that pertains to that. It's like, but what if I don't talk about that? You know, everybody's got their own type of crowd. You know, I don't have to conform to this just because this is what you're doing and this is what these people like and this is what's getting these people famous. I don't want to do that, so I got to be like them. And that's what you came in on that, what you call it, was saying today. It was like, well, why we got to be like that, Kyle? Why can't we just be like ourselves? Why you can't say, why I can't keep doing what I'm doing, you know, to be like the person that I am? People like the things that I do, but even though it might combat with you, it's not for everybody.
Right.
And that's what...
That's when you find your crowd.
Yeah, and that's what we all was saying because, you know, Gigi's like Gigi, fucking DC's like DC, fucking Kamara's like Kamari, I'm like I am, Byron's like Byron,
yeah.
You know, fucking Paul's like Paul, so it's just...
So, just to be clear, everybody, Kyle did another podcast before this podcast.
We don't have to be clear about anything.
So, yes, we do.
Why? No, it's just a conversation. You continue talking. You don't have to go ahead and, like, put a little PSA out about it. No, it's just like, oh, this is how I was explaining things. And that's how I was explaining, like, everybody, when you look at it like that and then you, like, break the wall of, like, oh, this is what was going on. No, it's just a conversation. It doesn't matter who was being talked about or what was being... I'm just trying to explain
yeah.
what we was, yeah, why you were saying that. And I'm like, no, you don't need
oh,
to say
that's
that.
Just me.
Yeah, exactly. No, you don't need to, that doesn't matter. It's just a conversation. Like, people are listening to the conversation. It doesn't matter who was being there or who was being talked about or what.
Yeah,
it's just
like,
how we was explaining something.
Call.
Yeah, not, but they know people. They know who those people are. Young, funny people. And that's why I was bringing it to them because I talk about that a lot. I talk about them often. They've all been on this podcast, so they understand.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's
good.
What I, that's the whole situation I was getting at. So, you guys, this has been fun.
Mm-hmm.
Therese, Till next time, everybody. Y'all have a good one. This has been Tell Me a Joke. Bye, Therese.
Bye. Thank you for having me.
You're welcome.
Next time we can have like a bench with some back.
We won't lay down next time. We still won't lay down.
Well, it's late. You can't lay down. Now that you want some naps and flies on.
We won't be doing it. All right, bye, everybody.